You know, what keeps me up at night lately isn't horror movies. It's realizing how much of my life is floating around the internet. Addresses, phone numbers, my family members, my personal emails. Data brokers are collecting this stuff and selling it like it's a clearance item. That's why I'm excited to tell you about My Data Removal. They help you remove your personal info from the web, but for real. Not just hiding it, but going after the more than 200 sites and growing where your info might be exposed. They scan, they remove, and they keep you updated every month so you know what's been taken down. Identity theft, unwanted calls, someone getting a hold of your home address and family details. It's not paranoid. It's real. In fact, 1 in 3 Americans has experienced identity theft. It costs time, money, and emotional stress. My Data Removal fights back so you don't have to. Here's what you do. Head to MyDataRemoval.com. Start with a free scan to see exactly what data about you is floating around. Then let them clean it up. Let them restore your privacy. Protect yourself. Protect your family. Clean up your data with My Data Removal. Visit MyDataRemoval.com now. Your peace of mind is worth it.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacy Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Here we are going and looking at every little piece of information going, what did she know? Did she know too much? I don't know that we're getting any closer to finding the answer to that, but we're certainly learning more and more about her personality, the way that she handled this relationship, and that speaks volumes when you try to figure out how someone may or may not have acted. But again, she's innocent. She's never been charged with anything, and she maintains her innocence. Let's keep watching.
Would you say you were fixing the relationship at that point? Was it getting better or was it getting worse? It's hard to tell because on the 29th, I left her house. I didn't see her again until July 13th. She went to South Florida for those 2 weeks.
Did you guys talk on the phone?
We talked on the phone once in a while. We did some video chats. I talked to the kids for a video chat and things like that. But it was very up in the air where the relationship was going to go. I would get a mixture of messages, verbally and by text.
Would you agree with me that your level of contact with her between June 29th and July 14th was less than it was before?
Oh, it was minimal. It was minimal. Days and days would go by at points without us talking on the phone, at least. I may get the random text or something, but we weren't talking a lot.
And then on July 13th, Wendy, in essence, tells you that her brother, Charlie, had looked into hiring a hitman to kill Dan Marcon.
In 2013, yes, sir.
In 2013?
Yeah.
What was your reaction to this?
It was in the context of a relationship discussion. They kind of just worded out when he has a habit of blurting things out that are kind of tangential or whatever. And so I didn't know what to make of it. My stomach kind of flipped. It was like a chilling statement. And then we kind of ended up talking about the relationship again, and I give it a lot of thought at the time. It was just a crazy thing that someone would say, you know?
Okay. Very crazy thing. Yeah. But let me ask you this. Did you take that statement as a threat to you? That, and let me kind of clarify this. She indicated that because of her bad relationship with Mr. Markell, correct? And you'll agree with me that they had a bad relationship, correct?
That's how she characterized it.
You'll agree with me that she said, based on a bad relationship, that her brother had looked into hiring somebody to kill him, correct?
Well, that was specifically about the relocation, what she said in that state. I know they had bad blood otherwise for other reasons, certainly, but that was specifically tied to the relocation battle being lost. That was what prompted Charlie to look into it, according to her statement.
This conversation that you had on July 13th, where was it?
It was in her house on Aqua Ridge.
Was anybody else around when she made the statement?
No, sir.
Did you contact any of your friends after this conversation and discuss the fact that Wendy Adelson had indicated that her brother had looked to hire a hitman?
In what time frame?
Okay, so on July 13th, when the conversation's over, do you stay there that night?
No. We ended with me telling Wendy, if you this isn't going to work for you, you can text me. We can just break up. I don't want a big thing. You don't want complication. And I left for the night and did not stay.
You have like a family member or a best friend that you talk to about personal issues?
I have several, sure.
Okay. Did you call or contact any of them on the way back to discuss what had transpired about, and I'm not talking about the breakup.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I am talking about the breakup.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you call your friends and go, hey, listen, you know, it ended with me and Wendy?
You know, that's a summertime in an FSU. A lot of these people were out of town. Some of them were even overseas. So there was less contact than there ordinarily would have been. But I'm sure I discussed the fact, well, not that night because it was so late. What I remember is the next day when I get this email saying, don't contact me for a week, I certainly shared that with friends because I found it really frustrating and surprising and thought it was weird.
Did you share with any of your friends the comment that Wendy Adelson made to you with regards to her brother and the murder fry?
I'm sure I did. I just couldn't tell you who or when I did that. But certainly, after the murder occurred, certainly, I shared that with people. I also shared it with the police the first day they brought me in.
Right. So you were interviewed by law enforcement in this case, correct?
Yes, sir.
During your interview with law enforcement, did you mention this statement? Okay. Did you tell Detective, it was Detective Isom that interviewed you?
It was him and Investigator Hale.
Okay. Did you indicate to them who you had shared this information with?
I don't know that I was asked to.
Oh, Judge, it's not for
the room.
Can you restate the question?
No worries. Yeah. So when you tell them what Wendy told you about her brother's murder for hire plot, did you say, yeah, listen, you know, I spoke to my buddy, because the murder happened on the 18th, correct?
That's correct.
And so 4 days prior to that is when you got that breakup. Was it an email or a text message?
It was an email.
Okay, so you get a breakup email. And so you call your friends, which is normal, right? And you indicated just a few minutes ago that you probably mentioned the murder for hire to some of your friends, right?
At some point, I just don't know when.
Okay. What about, was this before or after your interview with law enforcement?
Was what before or after?
Your discussions with friends.
Well, after I had told it to the police, I certainly discussed it. I'm confident. I may have done it before as well. I don't recall that. But after I told the police that, I did share that with some people confidentially, yes.
Now, she told you, and by she I'm referring to Wendy Adelson, during your July 13th conversation, that he had looked and the price was either 15 or 50,000, correct?
That's correct.
So it's either one or the other, correct?
Right.
And would it be fair to say, based on your testimony, that she said that that price was too high?
No, she didn't offer any further context or explanation. It was kind of a thing that was boarded out. And then literally 20 seconds later, she started talking about something else, and I can't recall what that was. I think it was the relationship stuff that I was very focused on.
So out of nowhere, she tells you, Charlie was going to go look to hire a hitman. It was going to cost $15,000 or $50,000. And you don't go back to that.
I don't know that it was out of nowhere. I believe preceding that was a discussion that if anything ever happened to Danny, she would move to Miami. I think I've spoken to the investigator Isom about that previously.
And listen, I have to ask Mr. Lacoste, at no point did you contact law enforcement after you heard of this threat so they could contact Mr. Merkel to see if there's any need to protect him in any way, shape, or form.
I didn't.
Give me 1 second, Your Honor.
Good night.
Just a few more questions, sir.
Sure.
Would I be correct or incorrect assuming or in saying that you were interested in having a monogamous relationship with Wendy Adelson?
I thought I had a monogamous relationship with
Wendy. And you wanted to keep it, correct?
Depends when you're asking.
On July 13th, 2014?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's right.
I'm sorry to ask such personal questions. I know. Did you think it's unusual? Let me ask this. At some point, did you ever see a picture of Dan Merkel?
Sure.
Do you think that there's a resemblance between yourself and him?
Everybody always says that. When I was dating her, no one ever brought it up. I see it from the pictures. In real life, I was never told that while we were dating.
And as you indicated before, you're also a professor?
That's correct.
Mm. Do you feel wronged by Wendy Adelson?
Do I feel wronged?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes.
Oh, yes, sir.
Let's pause it there.
Well, good morning.
Yeah. That's big.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I always kind of thought, hey, they have a very similar look.
I never noticed that. It's true. There's a lot of that going on in this family. Look at Tom Petty. She looks like Donna. So here's Wendy dating another lookalike to her ex-husband.
They're all about the comfort zone. What's comfortable to them?
They are. They're very much about that. And I don't think they realize it. It's a tell. I don't know what it tells other than it's like a very simplistic way of thinking. But I wonder how many other people in this family have similar type trends. Certainly not Charlie. I mean, the women that he dated looked nothing like
Donna or
her sister.
But they all did look alike.
They all did look alike.
So, but here's the thing. What does that question have to do with anything? So it's obvious that she liked a certain look. Mm-hmm. And I think we could probably all fall into that category to a certain extent.
We have
right?
types. Yeah.
We have types. What does that have to do with this?
I don't know yet. I think they're still putting that together here in what they're gotcha. Setting up and what they're teeing up on this. And I'm curious to figure out where that goes.
Jennifer has a great comment. I bet Donna hated Jeff then because she hated Danny. That's an interesting take too, I think.
I bet Donna hated anyone that took time away from her and Wendy. Meaning any attention that Wendy was giving to anyone other than her, I bet she did not like. And I bet that would come down to family members. I wonder if it even came down to the damn grandkids. I don't know. I mean, I know
oh
there was
my
like,
God. Yes.
I know it was the battle for the grandkids, you know, on paper, but was it? Or was it more so to get Wendy closer and so she could continue to have her little mother-daughter tea parties, you know, in her mind and control her child?
Can you imagine having Grandma Donna and maybe one day you're not thankful enough that she made a batch of cookies for you? Can you imagine what that would be like?
Yes, I lived it.
Exactly. So tell me about it, Stacey.
My grandmother on my dad's side was extremely domineering and everybody pretty much had to bow to her. Mm-hmm. Like she was the matriarch of the family and you did what grandma said, period. Mm-hmm. If you didn't do that, it was like, she would spend an entire week aiming at you. Comments, activities. Maybe you didn't get dinner one night. I mean, it was tremendous abuse, but that's how this person operates. As long as you're staying in line, keeping all your ducks in a row, you're fine. The minute you step out, oh, it's going to be hell. Mm-hmm. It is going to be absolute fucking hell for you. Almost like Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
That story.
It's funny how many, how often and how common it is that we live lives like this, mm-hmm. not necessarily going to murder, but like that, like you talked about, Stacey, where it's just, well, this is how the family is. And these are the dynamics and you grow up into it and you learn, oh, this is how they act. And this is what you do. And it's so normalized. The unhealthy is so normalized. Maybe that's what
you made a comment to like a week or two ago. And I'm not sure that we dove into it much. Stacey, but you said she's like Marie Barone from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Correct.
I'm a fan of that show.
Yeah.
And, but you're that's exactly the kind of family we're talking about here, where Marie ruled, you know, over everybody.
Everything.
And I mean, I'm guessing Harvey's a little bit like Marie's husband.
Yeah.
Where he just kind of gets by with it. Lets Marie do whatever the hell. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It's easier to sit back and let her do the things. Because then you're not going to be a target. You're not going to be one of her victims. If you just let her go do her thing, you'll be fine.
And we rationalize it by telling ourselves things exactly like that, Todd, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, she's like Marie Barone. Oh, that's a funny show. You know, and you it's like, oh, this seems normal. This seems okay. Where on a comedy show where these people aren't real, sure. But in real life, it's a toxic as shit human being. I mean, yeah. I mean, do you think that, I mean, if you really had that Marie Barone character in real life as your mother-in-law, I don't know, it would be as slapstick, you know,
of course,
must see TV, hilariously funny every day of life. I think you would, it'd be really funny to see, funny in a dark way, to see like the real version of Everyone Loves Raymond. And where Raymond ends up, you know, going out on a bender, and they find him falling off, like off of a bridge one night because Marie has gone to his, you know, such extremes manipulating the family that he can't take it anymore. That's how that real version would end.
But that show was created off of a real life story, not sure. The extreme. Obviously, yeah. They wrote around it, but there were people who actually inspired that. So it just makes me wonder, you know, how many people really do deal with families with that dynamic, not to the extreme of the Adelsons, but I think there's a lot of that in, at least, I don't know, I want to say in America. I know we have viewers and listeners from other countries, but I think it's pretty prevalent that there's this one person in the family that just makes everybody's lives a living fucking hell.
And not enough are realizing, I don't have to live like this.
Correct.
It's a choice, but I'd say 80-90% of us for a good chunk of our lives do and just endure it. I think that when
we don't figure out that we can make that choice, that we do have the power. We just feel so immersed in it that we can't get out until one day you wake up and go, I don't have to do this shit anymore.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.